Rabbi Isaiah, let's learn, let's review a few. Hi, how are you? Okay, Rabbi Isaiah, let's learn a few little ideas about Sefarim. Okay, we're continuing where we left off. I found this to be very interesting. We learned the meat of Emes. The style, he has a whole thing over here, not going into detail. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he asked his father for Haskam. He wrote, who knows, I don't even know how many Sefarim he wrote. 50, 100 Sfarim, I don't know what the numbers are. Okay, Rabbi Sai. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he asked his father Stiple for Haskama. So his father basically almost never gave him Haskama. He only gave Haskama once. Okay, Rabbi Sai, could please have some form. So Rav Chaim, the Stiple was the father of Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He gave him Haskama only once on the parish, the Braisa, the Melechas HaMishkan. This is like a medrash that describes the various components of the Mishkan. He wrote a sefer that analyzes the various different parts of the sefer, and the stipler gave him Haskama. Okay, so the Haskama, in the original Haskama he wrote, Upa'omim rabbis ein sipur hitzia b'ni haraf ha'goyim mikoyrois lefonai. Many times, beyond what I can count, my child, my son of Chaim, he presented me with, he asked me questions relating to the subject matter of the Sefer. That's what it said originally in the Haskama, that the stipler, you know who the stipler was? The stipler was like a Malach Elokim. Stipler was mamish beyond our belief.
Went to his apartment.
What?
Went to his daughter. You want to buy the stipler's farm. You have to go to his house. So I went to his house. His daughter sells it to you.
The daughter sells it.
When he was giving it to you, he'd only sell you
the Masech that you're learning.
Exactly. And he'd give you a Bechina also. So now that he's dead, I went.
Now they sell it in Eichler's. You can get it in Eichler's.
They sell you the whole set.
That's it. But so he wrote. So the Stipler gave his son Haskam on one sefer, one of his Sfarim, and he wrote this very nice shevach that my son came to me many times, more than I can count. Upon Rabos, Ein Sipur Hitzia Bini Haraf Agoin Mikoros Lefnai. He brought me the Mikoros from what he was writing, the sources. So when he looked over it before they printed it, he said he crossed out the words Ein Sipur. He said it wasn't Emes. He says we wrote Upa'amim Rabos. Many times, Ein Sipur, more than I can count, it's beyond count, did my son come to me and present me some, his from his writings. That's not true, that's an exaggeration. So he crossed that out, he removed that from the Haskama. It's interesting, it's a sense of integrity. When you write a Haskama, so it doesn't, like many times you see today, they write in the Haskama. I didn't read it. I don't have time. I didn't read it. But I know the guy. He's a good guy. And you can trust whatever he says. I have faith that whatever he says is MS. So we hear in the Haskama, he felt that it was not 100%.
You know, there are two types of Haskamas, right? There's Haskama having read and reviewed.
Exactly.
And then there's the personal Haskama, which you just alluded to.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so the Rogachev. Someone presented the Rogachev was a genius. The Rogachev could look at a building and tell you in a second how many bricks there are. Not a mashunadika mind, a mind that's beyond our understanding. He'll come here, he'll tell you by looking at the bookcase how many some are on the bookcase in a second. So someone brought him Sefer Haskama. So he looks at the Sefer, everyone was petrified of Rogachev. He comes to Sefer and he goes. He says this. So the fellow, oh wow, look at the Rogachev, he's smiling, he's going through, he likes it, he's reading the Sefer, and he's mingling. So the person says, so the Rav, he's okay, you're impressed with the Sefer? So he goes, no, I'm amazed at the Bal Tashchis of such good paper. Such good paper to waste on this nonsense. That was the Rogachev. Okay, today they wouldn't like that because today all the Gedolim have to be very nice and smile, you know, not a lot of insult. In the olden days, they said it the way it was.
Mean you're going to read through all
the olden days, there was to keep us. Okay, next little idea. This is very interesting. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, you know, everyone comes to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He doesn't go anywhere. People come to him. It's not common. He should go. When he wrote a sefer on Kiddush HaChodesh, the very chashva sefer, who knows the Kiddush HaChodesh, the very intricate, complex mathematical calculation of the Rambam. So he wrote a sefer, Chaim Kanievsky wrote a very chashva sefer on Kiddush HaChodesh, and he knew that there was a young man in Slobodka, yeshiva, far away, who already wrote a sefer on Kiddush HaChodesh. Obviously this person was a genius, mathematical mind, And Chaim wanted to talk to him. He wanted to go over some of the issues that he had when he was running his sefer. So he got in a taxi or on the bus. Mm-hmm. This is not that long ago. And he went there. He went to the yeshiva. Where is this person? He went to the yeshiva, Slobodka, to go find this person. So when he comes to the Chaim Kanievsky is coming. Chaim is coming over here to Flatbush. Why is he coming? He wants to speak to you. Why? Because you wrote this sefer, and he wants to talk over with you some of the issues that he's having and that we're having, and he wants someone to talk to. So he said, you didn't have to come to me. You just tell me. If you were to send a mess, I would come running to you. So Rav Chaim said, who needs who? I need you. I'm also running a sefer. There are some very difficult matters. You wrote a sefer. I see you really know this stuff inside out. I have some questions. I need you. If I need you, it's their cheretz. I come to you. You don't come to me. Isn't that amazing? The Gadol Hadar goes to a younger man learning a kollel because I need you. Okay? Will you find that today anywhere else? So it's an unbelievable story.
If it's that esoteric a subject, he doesn't have all that many people.
So that's what I said. I'll come to you, Justice Solomon. Yeah. Send me a message. Send a message. I'll come running to you.
He can ask the board to come to writer to come to him if he's a rabbi, but he doesn't have to.
So that's what the person said. I'll come to the rabbi. So Chaim says, I know you would come to me, but listen, I need you. I'm the one who is in need, and the Derech Eretz says the one in need goes to the one who has the information, especially when it comes to Torah. Maybe you'll tell me when it comes to money. All right, so you'll say that I need this person's money. Have him come to me. I want him to go support someone who's poor. But it's a very powerful event, Moshe.
There's a story. I don't know. It's true, not a practical story. He gave a shiur, and I asked him a good question. And he thought about it. And it was like, she was over, it was lunchtime. He says, I need to talk to this fellow. Where is he? So he told him, go 2 blocks down in the pizza store.
And he went.
So he went. Went into the pizza store, sat down with him, and had a discussion.
Wow.
I don't know. Do I have a ring of truth?
You never know. Okay, another short, interesting idea. This I found very surprising. I'll read you actually the words. Shamati me'agoin avilyo man shlita. I'm not sure who that is. There was a man in Kfar Hasidim.
That's not Rav Shach?
No. Avilyo? Shach's name was not Avilyo. No. So he put out a sefer called, one of his most popular sefer is called Orchos Yosher. Orchos Yosher, it's a Musa sefer. It's a Musa Sefer. And I think it was the first Musa Sefer that Rav Chaim Kanievsky put out. When he put this out, he was very, very happy. Kishahoitzi a Sefer, Orchos Yosher, came to Super Al Chavera, so he told him a story. He told, I don't know, I think, it seems like that the Rav Chaim told this fellow who's writing the Sefer, this Sefer, is that when the Shlah, listen, you believe it, I'm just telling you what it says, just the idea is interesting, whether it's true or not, because no one came back to tell us what's going on in the next world. But when the Shlah came to Shemayim after he was Nifter, I don't know who we know this, so he wanted in Gan Eden, there was a fellow who wanted to sit next to the Shlah HaKadosh in Gan Eden. And he was denied, the Shlah was this, will you allow this fellow to sit next to you? He said, no. Why not? Because even though this fellow is a very great Talmud Chacham and published Svarim, Choshev Svarim, he did never publish a Sefer on Musar. And Avalani, I published many from one of my sfarim is on Musar. Therefore, it's not fitting that a person who did not publish a sefer on Musar should sit next to, in the next world, a person who published sefarim in addition to halacha on Musar. Listen, don't ask me if the story is true or not, but that's what it says here. So he had very great simcha. Chaim Kanievsky, when he put out many sfarim, when he put out a sefer on Musar, he felt a certainty of shleimus. If you're publishing already, you have a talent, Hashem gave you a gift to be mechadish and to write, Musar is a very, very important thing. Now this is another very bizarre thing, and this is very famous. I heard this before, it's a very, very famous story. When you put out the Orchas Yosher, I don't know why, as the Rav Chaim has so many Svarim, it was a craze in Eretz Yisrael. And he put out actually when it was not that long ago, it was like a couple of years ago, it was maybe 5-6 years ago, it probably says here the date exactly he published Orchas Yosher. It was a very, very big craze, and it sold out instantly, and they reprinted it multiple times. And it sold out nonstop. Sold astronomical number of volumes, the copies of this safe Orchas Yosher, when it was published many years in about, I don't know, like maybe like 5, 6, 7 years ago in Eretz Yisrael. Immediately, I don't know if you remember this, immediately after he published that, this Tkufa, Rav Chaim got very, very sick. He was hospitalized. Zman, can you say the date over here? When he published it? I found it in the back of the book over here. Okay. He was hospitalized. And it was very serious. I remember that because it was very, very serious. He was very, very nervous. And they told this Rav Steinman, who was only very recently nifted, the Shloshim was this past Sunday, and he said something very shocking. He says, I was doing like very bizarre things. He said, it's because of an ayin hara. The reason why Rav Chaim got sick and is in the hospital is because of the super duper over the top success he achieved in with the Orchas Yosher, and it's Ayin Hara. That's why it happened. So they went back. It says so they went back and they told this Rav Chaim Kanievsky that the reason Rav Steinman said about you that's what happened to you. So he said, nonsense. The Chazon Nish said that in Bnei Barak, there's no such thing as Ayin Hara. In Bnei Barak, what does that mean exactly? I don't know why. There's no. How could it possibly be that Rav Steinman would say that the reason why I'm in the hospital is because of the Ayin Hara I got for my success in publishing the Sefer and all the fame and glory all over the world? There's no such thing. I live in Bnei Barak. So his wife said to him, but now we're in the hospital in Yerushalayim. We're not in Bnei Barak. This is a very strange story. Where do you find the strange stories? So he says, oh, ridiculous. He said, come on, what difference does it make? But any event, something very, 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 it's also very strange. He sent to Rabbi Fahel Levine, Zatzai, he's no longer living, it seems. This is his uncle. He has an uncle, Rabbi Fahel Levine, who's a very, very big tzaddik, who was into Inyani Kabbalah, that he should do for him a lachash neged the ayin hara. Rav Chaim is not into this type of stuff. It's very, very rare. Because people, he's not into these hocus pocus type of things. Ayin Hara, wearing the red thing around, going to Mikubalim for Ayin Hara. But if Rav Steinman said that it's because of Ayin Hara, I listened to Rav Steinman. Rav Steinman was 104 years old when he was Nifter, a month ago. If he said it, so how he must have been in his 90s, in mid-90s, when he said, when this might happen about 5 years ago. If Steinman said Ayin Hara, I take it seriously, even though the Chazon Ish says that in Bnei Brak, it's not Shaykh Ayin Hara, I take it seriously. He sent a message to his uncle, who was immersed in these inyanim, knowledgeable of the inyanim of Ayin Hara, that he should recite on his behalf a lachash to remove the Ayin Hara. I just thought that was interesting to share with you.
I was
yeah.
About that remark about no Ayin Hara in Bnei Brak, maybe Yosef's point. Maybe
the S'chus HaTorah.
No, maybe it means that among people at that level, that there's no competition.
Right.
That they don't envy one another or begrudge the other success when right. You're in the major leagues at the top. So maybe that's what he possibly meant. So there couldn't have been an Ayin Hara.
This is a very famous story. This is a story where Rav Steinman was alive. Everyone knows this story. Those who don't know it, I'll repeat it to you and tell you the story. Is that there was a fellow who went to Rav Steinman and the meeting maybe and he had money. He was wealthy, independently wealthy. A younger man, someone I guess from Koilel, newly married. He wanted to buy a car, to buy a car in Eretz Yisrael is like this is for the super super rich. You have to be from the super rich to buy a car in Eretz Yisrael. What?
At least a new one.
A new one. It doesn't exist. A Kohel, someone learning later. So his wife said to me, "You're crazy? You're going to buy a car? You're going to buy a car? Ayin hara. You know, I don't want people to think that we're rich. Ayin hara." So his wife said, "No way, you're not buying a car. I need the car. This is what I do. I want the car." So go to Rav Steinman, see what he says. So he goes to Rav Steinman, and he says to Rav Steinman, "I want to buy a car, but my wife says I should not buy a car because of ayin hara." So he says, Rav Steinman says to him, "Did you finish Shas?" So he says, "No." "Did you finish a whole Seder? A whole Seder in Shas?" "No." "Do you know Shimon? Are you a Bucky in Indian Shulchan Aruch?" "No." "Do you know at least two or three Mesechtas?" "No." "One Mesechta? I made a Siyum here, but no, you know I'm not." So he says, "You know, you? Don't worry. No one's giving you an ayin hara." Grove Amaretz. It's a good story, you know? Like you said yesterday, the celebrity, the hero, is the one who learns. Exactly how you fataych the dinner is the chashivas of Torah. This is nonsense. It's on the, it puts you in the right perspective. Now, the most popular Seder, the Seder that I knew about first, when I, as many, many years, is Shoyne Halachas. If you ever see Shoyne Halachas, it blows you out of your mind. What is Shoyne Halachas? It is basically a summary of Mishnah Berurah. He takes, what is Mishnah Berurah? Mishnah Berurah is Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, Mishnah Berurah, Be'er Halacha, and a few little golden nuggets in the Sharat Zion. So what did he do? The Rav Chaim Kanievsky, this is many, many years ago, he went and he just basically bullet points. Instead of having the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, the Mishnah Berurah, and the Bir Halacha, and the Sharat Zion, he just makes bullet points. What is the bottom line? The bottom line. A, B. So he basically summarized the entire Mishnah Berurah, the six Halakim of Mishnah Berurah, summarize it into the bottom line halacha. It's an incredible sefer. If you learn Mishnah Berurah, you ever spend time learning Mishnah Berurah, and then you go and you read the Shoyne Halachas, and it's not that long. It's not all that long. It's like, wow.
The Cliff Notes.
It's better than Cliff Notes because it opens up your mind. Like you see the brilliance of like, oh, I didn't think about that. And look how he summarized in just short statements every facet of a page of Mishnah Berurah. It's incredible. It really is incredible. This is probably his most popular sefer. It's three volumes called Shoyne Halachas. So he writes here that when he wrote Shoyne Halachas, it was never meant for publication. It was his personal cliff notes, his personal notes. He learned Mishnah Berurah. He learns every single day. He learns three pages of Mishnah Berurah of Chaim Kanievsky. Every single day, three pages. Three, I don't know what that means. Three pages of Mishnah Berurah. He learned it hundreds of times. He knows it bal peh. And he wrote Shoyne Halachas probably 20, 30 years ago. Probably even 30 years ago he wrote it. He wrote it for himself. He didn't write it for anyone. But just his own Chazara. Then people say, you know, it's so good. Why don't we print it already? Okay, they printed it. I think they printed it 10 times already since then. It's been reprinted 10 times. Each printing was probably who knows how many thousands of copies. And then he used to put first the corrections. Any correction people sent in Ha'aris, he would put it on the bottom. He would not incorporate it into the text itself. He said, "I'm waiting for more corrections, more comments." After 10 printings, he felt there's nothing more to correct. By now, no one has caught and challenged anything he said. It's done. They took all of the comments that were printed in all of the nine editions and they incorporated into the text, the revised text, and no more. That's it. And now they just reprint this edition, the 10th edition, is reprinted. It was written originally for himself. They wanted to actually translate it to English. He refused. He said the details will get lost in the translation. He allowed a lot of things. Lately, he allowed a lot of his things to be translated into English. They have a Haggadah. He allowed it to be famous to his grandson. His grandfather was very, very acceptable. They should translate it in. But when it comes to Halacha, he refuses to allow anyone to take anything that he wrote in Halacha to allow it to be translated into another language, because by translating something into a language, you're going to lose some of the important details in the translation. Okay. Okay, let me go to some other quick things. Almost finished, okay. Okay, this is very spooky. This is very interesting. Very interesting. He never printed. Now, he wrote a very chasher sefer on the Chumash called Taimo Dekra. Are you familiar with that sefer? My father loved it. My father had such hanah from the sefer Taimo Dekra. Brilliant, brilliant stuff. It's on Chumash. And every so often, they put out a new edition. It gets thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker. Okay, it's basically machshav. It's drush.
So
on the parasha. What?
He adds on.
Every year he adds on. So here it tells you all the secrets and no one knows what goes on behind the scene about Taim of the Krah. First of all, about Taim of the Krah, the back of Taim of the Krah, attached to Taim of the Krah, there is another sefer. There's another sefer. What is it called? I didn't even pay attention. I'm going to go look at home what it's talking there. There's a Bryce, one of his first svarim, Bryce of the Melachas HaMishkan. Okay, there's a short sefer called Bryce of the Melachas HaMishkan that is appended to the sefer Taim of the Krah. So they asked him, why? Why do you append? This is like really an independent sefer. Why are you appending at the Taim of the Krah? So he says that he has a Kabbalah that you don't print just a sefer on Chumash, on Machshava, on Drush. You don't print it. And he says something really, really spooky here. He says that the Beis Halevi never gave a Haskama on Drush. He gave Haskamas on many, many Svarim, but he never gave a Sefer on Drush. A person who writes a Sefer on the Parsha, sermons, you know, Machshav, why not? Look, what I'll read the words over here. So he says here, V'hoya Oimer, I believe this is the Brisker of, Halo, the fellow, Shochav B'mitasai, he's lying in his bed, V'ola B'daita, and while he's lying in his bed going to sleep, it comes into his mind, Arayoin, thought. Am I asking, is this good? A thought. V'chosvoy, and the next morning he wakes up, oh, while I was lying in my bed, I thought of it, what am I going to say Shabbos? What am I going to speak about Shabbos, by Shalosh Shudas? Oh, I have a thought. And the next day he writes it down, and now he wants to publish it. V'loy omal b'zeh. That's not called anelus. First is going to sleep. I have to speak by Shalosh Shudas. So in my mind, I'm thinking, what should I say? I'll say this, and then you go to sleep. And the next day, it's Gevaldik Machshav I had last night while I was going to sleep. You write it down. V'loy omal b'zeh. The Ch'eis, Baal Levakesh, Alzeh Haskama. And now this guy comes to me and he wants I should write a Haskama for the Sefer? No way. I'm not writing a Haskama for such a Sefer. A person sits in Beis Medrash and harvests and works as Omel to learn, to develop and learning, to produce Chidushim that I write a Haskama for. But the Ruba, all of these type of Sfarim, which are Rayonois, my Friday Torah. This is something which just, you know, you're lying down. What are you going to say the next day?
You had an idea in your sleep? I've had it.
Of course you had ideas in sleep. Yeah, but a Briskerov felt it does not in the league, it's not in the league of a Sefer that deserves that the Gedolei Hadar should come and should give Haskamas for. You have to separate between...
The problem with saying that, though,
in this generation, doesn't
apply. From the Amelus during the
that's
day.
True. It's
now,
right. It's true. But obviously, in our generation, it doesn't. This doesn't hold any water. Of course, it doesn't hold water in our generation. But at least let's get an appreciation of what used to be in a different generation. Different generation, there were people who mamish sat and learned for real. They actually sat and learned. It's hard to find people today who really sit and learn for real. I mean, people sit and learn. But the hasmada, the real deal, the appreciation to be fully immersed in learning, it's not so common. Even though everyone goes koilal, the real deal is not so common. Few and far in between. That's what you give a haskama for. You don't go and be mezalzel in what a haskama is for people who are lying in their bed and thinking about what they're going to say about Shalosh Shudas. So if I don't want to give a haskama, so Chaim said, I feel very guilty publishing a sefer just on Chumash. Taima Dekrah, what is Taima Dekrah? It's basically Rayonos on the Chumash. So therefore, I don't want to publish just, I want in the Sefer itself to be something more serious. The Braisa, my Sefer, Braisa, the Melachas HaMishkan, I was Omelbo. It's something which I taka, sat, and harvard to make a parish on this Medrash. It's a Medrash, and it came with a lot of Amelos. It's Kedai to get it, it's Kedai to publish such a thing. This, even though he has the Chidushim are unbelievable, like I told you, my father, he loved it. He was fascinated with the Sefer Taim of the Krah. I don't want a problem with such a sefer like that alone. Therefore, that's why he always appends to Talmud Dekra, he appends this sefer called Brayis Demachzan Mishkan. And by the way, when is he lechadish? Very, very, very fascinating. When is Rav Chaim Kanievsky lechadish everything that it says in Talmud Dekra? You always say Talmud Dekra. And every year it gets bigger. Every time every edition they do, it gets bigger and bigger. It gets thicker and thicker because every so often he collects new ideas and they just append, they just expand it. When is he mechadish? When? When he's learning Daf Yomi? When he's learning the Gemara? When he's learning Daf Gemara? Everything in that sefer came into his mind during Kriya Satara. That's what it says. During Kriya Satara, he listens intently to Kriya Satara, and at those moments in time, ideas come into his head. When Kriya Satara Shabbos is over, he writes down the rayonos he had during Shabbos Kriya Satara, and that is where the Sefer Time of Dikra comes from, with the appended this Sefer Brayis de Melachos HaMishkan, so that it should not be a violation of what the Brisker of did not want to give askama on people who have rayonos. Okay, we'll stop here.